This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. When you take a snapshot of 20-somethings across America, here's what you see. Almost 30% of them have had to move back home with their parents.
Almost 30% say they're embarrassed by their work situation.
And 60% say they feel stress about their future.
Welcome to Generation Stuck. WBUR is launching a new series chronicling the lives of 20-somethings in this economy, and over the next few weeks, we'll follow 26-year-old Catherine Round and 27-year-old Sam Mackin as they struggle with the challenges of having to move back home, uncertainty about their financial futures, and their own internal debate about whether they are truly stuck or just entitled. You'll hear from them on the air and can interact with them online.
Today, we'll begin with a story from Sam, who's had to move back in with his dad. This is part one of his story.
Is it recording? Hello, this is Sam Mackin. We are in the kitchen living room of my parents' house, a normal middle-class house in beautiful Lunenburg, Massachusetts. I've lived here for about a little over a year and a half. It's a small rural community that's slowly running out of money, and we lose power once a week. I make the joke that, you know, we live in New Delhi. That's about how reliable our power supply is. But, I mean, it's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful area. It's very picturesque. It's not that far from the White Mountains and Monadnock and... Oh, somebody's calling it. But for me, it's rough just because it's middle of nowhere. Not a lot of young folk. I'm in my late 20s. The majority of the town is older, much older, probably, you know, seniors, 60, 65 and older. So, I don't know. It's strange for me. There was a movie that came out years ago called Suburbia. It was about all these people in their early 20s that were kind of stuck in this town that they grew up in and they didn't know how to get out of it. And, you know, all of them, except for maybe one of the characters, has delusional grandeur. But the opening credits run over this song, this Gene Pitney song, which I recently had rewatched the movie a couple months ago, and I was like, oh. I was, like, blown away by it. And it's this kind of, you know, not quite melancholy song. What a town without pity can do. The young have problems. It's just a great song. Okay, I'm here with my father, Michael Mackin. Do I have your permission to record?
Yes, you do.
I just wanted to start by asking you, how do you feel about me living here?
I was very happy to have you come up and live with me and spend time with you. I love having you here. I love you being around here.
What's the other half of that?
Well, the other half of that is you know, really wanting to see you move on into your own life. And, you know, I'm hoping that is something that can happen soon.
My parents, I mean, they haven't said this to me specifically, but I know that, you know, they don't really want me here. And, you know, I don't really want to be here either. So that's basically the middle ground we found. You know, like, nobody knows what else to do. What do you think about my work situation?
Well, I'm glad that you got the job immediately when you got up here. Very proud that you've kept a job, which is, you know, it was a job. You know, it wasn't a career. It wasn't something to feed your soul, but you did it because you needed to take care of that other business.
So I graduated SUNY Oswego in May of 2009. I was living with my mom in Sloatsburg, New York, and spent a summer lightly searching for jobs, but when the fall hit, it was like, I really need to find work. And then that turned into basically a year and a half of me working everything, doing whatever, you know, I had student loans to pay off and just daily monetary stuff that I couldn't handle because I didn't have any money. Well, there was one point where I was working two or three part-time jobs, you know, every day it was like a different job, mostly restaurant jobs. And it was just bad. I just ended up, you know, like broke and penniless and living on my buddy's couch. And it got to a point where, you know, I was sinking rather than swimming. So I came up here, straightened everything out.
That's the direction that you're going to take.
What did you imagine I'd be doing with my life right now?
Well, I'd always thought because of your interest in journalism and particularly your work on the public radio affiliate up at college, that that would be a direction that you'd want to head for. And, you know, I think that would be great if that was something that was possible.
My whole thing when I was graduating was I really wanted to become like a foreign correspondent. I wanted to travel around and report on happenings throughout the world, but I honestly don't think that's ever going to happen. It's too far gone. At this point, I'm just scrambling I was thinking about the jobs that I've interviewed for. Like, I interviewed at a child modeling firm, you know what I mean? And that was like, whatever, it's money, you know, it's a salary, it's something, it's better than nothing. I'll take whatever.
When I came out of college, if you had a college degree, you could find a job. It might not be what you had gone for, but you'd find a job that would pay the bills. Now, you know, we've got some of the best educated waiters and bartenders and mall workers in the United States. It's been a very different experience.
Like half the people I know have master's degrees and they work two part-time jobs.
Right.
Do you think that the difference between my generation and your generation is the fact that we had these large expectations, like there was almost a sense of entitlement that we expected to have that stuff? Or do you think that it was just an economic thing?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Because this was the expectations that we had given you, which was, you know, go to college, get your college degree. That's the key to the next thing. So yes, in part, it was our expectations, and certainly the expectations that the era that you grew up in was really one of the most affluent growing times. The expectation was it was never going to stop. The world was good, and it was just getting better. And then again, the economic crisis happened, and, you know, the world changed.
The thing that it made me more aware of when I was talking to my dad is that he's actually kind of lamenting our generation. Like, I think he gets it. He gets that this was something that was completely out of our hands and that we're all trying to get out of it, that we're all working pretty hard. And that makes me happy to know that he's not angry. I'm on my way to work. I work at the Bull Run restaurant. It's an 18th century inn. I literally got the job the day I came up. I was so broke, my dad had to Western Union me money for a bus ticket. And I took a bus from, 33rd in Manhattan to South Station. And yeah, and literally I think either that day or the next day I showed up and applied for the job. And they said, show up on Wednesday and we'll try you out. And, you know, apparently the irony is that I'm not a bad worker. So they haven't gotten rid of me yet. But yeah, you want a driving tour of Lunenburg? This is beautiful Lunenburg, Massachusetts. On our right, we have the Flood Hill Orchard. And then there's a horse farm. Up on the left up here is where we're going, right up here. I do not want to be waiting table. I don't want to be here. I don't like my job. I don't like living at home. I don't like really anything about my situation at all. And the larger question is, well, how did you get here? And I don't know. You know, I don't want to blame me, but I know that, you know, I have to take responsibility. And it's definitely, you know, I choose to be here in some respect. But it's starting to drive me crazy that I was going to come up here, I was going to live for a year, I was going to find a job, and I was going to move out. And I haven't found a job. And that's one of the things that terrifies me on a daily basis. That the longer and longer and longer I'm not, you know, in a career-oriented field, and I'm not doing that work, and I'm not establishing myself or building my resume, that time is working against me, and that the longer it gets, then, you know, the harder and harder it's going to be. I want out of here. So, this is Sam Mackin signing off.
Okay. You're very welcome. Enjoy. The young have problems.
Sam is part of WBUR's new Generation Stuck series. You can find out more about him and listen to more from him, and also interact on our website, GenStuck, GenStuck.WBUR.org. So Sam talked about the troubles and the challenges of having to move back home with his dad, so let's dive deeper into that question. What does it mean? And what are the impacts on families and the country as a whole when almost 30% of 20-somethings have moved back home? Listeners, is that you? Or are you a parent who's welcomed back their child? What impact is it having on your life, your family's lives, even the economy as a whole? Do you want to be at home? Or maybe, as Sam says, you don't want to be there but don't know how to get out. And I'm also curious, perhaps are you a 20-something who's not stuck? What's your advice for your peers? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us now from Morristown, New Jersey, is Jennifer Tanner. She's a developmental scientist whose specialty is emerging adulthood, ages 18 to 29. She's also a visiting assistant professor at Rutgers Institute for Health, Healthcare Policy, and Aging Research. Jennifer Tanner, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us from Washington is Jordan Weissman. He's an associate editor at The Atlantic and has reported extensively on the millennial generation and the economy. He is part of the millennial generation, and his piece, The Cheapest Generation, appeared in The Atlantic September issue. Jordan Weissman, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Jennifer Tanner, let's start with you. The numbers are actually quite startling, that 30% of young people ages 23 to 29 have moved back home with their families. How different is that from previous generations?
That's a significant difference. I think people are trying to make sense of what is different because of the economy and what is different because changes between generations. This is absolutely has a lot to do with the economy and the current situation that we're in.
Jordan, what's your thought about that?
I mean, it's a big number. You know, the figure I usually go off of is a little less dramatic than that. But Harvard, a study out of Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies, said about 2 million more young people moved home essentially than would have if it had not been for the recession. Either way, I mean, that's 2 million. That's the size of Houston, right? I mean, it's a giant number, and it has an impact not just on the people who do move home, but the whole economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at a Pew study, which I'm sure both of you are familiar with, that mm-hmm. sort of reflects these numbers that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But it also adds to the fact that of those people who have moved back home, 78%, according to Pew, are satisfied with their living arrangements, and 77% are upbeat about their future finances. So having to be back home with mom and dad doesn't seem to be the worst thing in the world for at least some, if not a majority, of these people that we're calling Generation Stuck, Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one to jump on the side of the side of the bandwagon that says that we are having this is a completely chaotic and crisis-driven stage of the lifespan and experience for this generation. I mean, I do think that there are problems with every generation and challenges with every generation, and some people, for sure, are having more difficult times than others. But humans, people in general, tend to do well at solving their own problems, and we're born to be an adaptive species.
Mm. Well, Jennifer, tell me more about what you are studying and what's now being called emerging adulthood. I mean, how does this new characterization of this age in the 20-something decade differ from what we considered what 20-somethings should be doing in generations past?
Sure. So, you know, in the past, in the 50s and the 60s, and I usually talk about it in terms of the television show Mad Men, because many people are familiar with that show. You know, in that period of our history, our country was very standardized. And what that means is that society prescribed rules to people and really structured our lives fairly restrictively, in that a small portion of people had the opportunity to kind of move around and make a lot of choices, but the majority of the people were, depending on their social capital, where they came from, and also some of their own personal capital, very few people had a chance to individualize their own lives. But from the 60s until the 21st century, our country and globally, cultures have gone through an incredible period of expansion and individualization, mm-hmm. where individuals get to map their own lives a lot more. And of course, this is both a burden and an asset to this generation.
Well, let me turn back to you, Jordan. I mean, you're 26 now, I believe. I mean, do you feel that sort of duality of independence and freedom and the possibility of choice, both a burden and an asset?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think I'm a little bit of an exception. I live with a long-term girlfriend. I did move home briefly in between jobs, my first internship out of college and then finding full-time work. But it was only for about a month. And frankly, I got kicked out of the house after that month. So it really didn't work out. I wasn't among the 70-some that thought that was a fine situation. But, you know, I do think that for my generation, yeah, there is a sense that adulthood has sort of, or there is this period of emerging adulthood that we kind of take time to find ourselves and get comfortable. And, you know, part of that's also, I frankly tend to think that economics explains culture as much as culture explains economics. And I think a lot of that has to do, especially with college graduates, you know, the need to go to grad school, the fact that your education might not be done at age 22, the fact that, you know, jobs don't last, individual jobs at a company don't last forever, that we have this more of a freelance culture. I think that the economy is shaped more for this kind of continual period of exploration too, and those things feed on each other.
Mm. But what do you think that the impact of this sort of flood, I'll just call it a flood, of young people moving back home? You said there's that connection between culture and economy. So what impact financially or economically is it having on American families?
Yeah, well, let's talk, you know, the piece I wrote with my co-editor, Derek Thompson, we focused on specifically what the issue of Gen Y's finances, what Gen Y's financial problems were going to do to the wider economy, right? And the fact that so many people were living at home, that frankly, so few of them are buying houses. You know, Gen Y is now just now moving into the age where they're supposed to be buying homes, supposed to be having children, at least in past generations, supposed to be buying cars. And they're not really doing that at the same rate that people used to. And a lot of that is the recession. During the recession, you know, Harvard found how the home ownership rate amongst millennials dropped about 12%. You know, another figure to give you a sense of this is, you know, back in the 80s, you know, 38% of new cars were bought by 21 to 34-year-olds. Back in 2010, it was about 27%. So they're making fewer of these large purchases. And those are the kinds of large purchases and sort of large kind of milestone-type purchases. When you buy a house, when you buy a mm-hmm. car, it's a big marker in your life. It's about responsibility. Those things kind of help fuel the economy. So much of America is for lack of a better word, driven by house and car purchases. So it does have an impact on all of us.
Okay. So this is an interesting point because I think that there's also a comparative analysis to be made on the impact that it has on when you don't reach those milestones, on, you know, your mindset and your capacity to believe what's possible for your life when you maybe exit your 20s. Because we've got a little bit more of tape from Sam here. Remember, he's our Generation Stuck participant. He's 27 years old, lives in Lunenburg. And he talks about, despite the challenges of living at home, he's still reluctant to move out.
Right now, I mean, I could do it. It's just I'm scared to, because I feel like if I do, then I'm running the risk of actually ending up worse off than I am. You know, and the whole point of me moving up here was so that I could grow and move forward and not take two steps back instead.
So Jennifer Tanner, talk to me about that, because Sam's saying I was supposed to actually be able to grow, as you're saying emergent adulthood is all about, by coming back home, but he feels like he might be shrinking or retracting psychologically instead.
I know, right? So, I mean, one thing that's going on here is they're really apples and oranges. And when we talk about what happens at the group level in terms of the economy and the culture, that really sets group norms and expectations. And then now when we talk about Sam, we're really talking about what is happening in the individual who's going through this life stage and who's exposed to these social norms. Well, Sam's clearly a very smart person. And I think he sees himself now as having made some missteps. Mm-hmm. One of the repercussions of the individualization of the lifespan, meaning that we've come to see individuals as having so much power and so much agency over their own lives, is that people then tend to feel overly responsible for all of their outcomes. When in fact, what's going on is that you're coming of age, these individuals are coming of age in a real context, an economy that puts constraints on you. And certainly, while we may have expanded opportunities now, they're not limitless. They have parameters on them. I think what's going on with Sam and his feelings about this is that he didn't meet his initial expectations, and he has an over-individualized sense of responsibility. He's gone too far to one extreme, thinking this all has to do with him. And I think now that's holding him back.
Well, listeners, we are talking about WBUR's special series, Generation Stuck, about 20-somethings in this economy. We're focusing today on what it means that so many young people have had to move back home with their families. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take some calls here. John is calling from Bridgewater. You're on the air, John.
Hey there. Hi.
Hi, John.
I went to a state college for accounting, and graduated with a degree, about a decent GPA, 2.9. And, I had a really, really difficult time finding a job in accounting out of college. And, it's unfortunate because I did work full-time the whole time throughout college just to support myself. And luckily, I went to a state college, so, I was able to actually pay for it. I was crushed when I graduated in 2011 and realized that, I basically applied for about six jobs, six accounting jobs and got interviews for. I probably applied for about 100.
So where did you end up, John?
Well, right now, I am a manager at a Dunkin' Donuts in Bridgewater. And I will tell you that it's not doom and gloom. You really got to make the best of it through hard economic times. And I still want to be an accountant, but I've actually learned that what I learned in school, without that, I would have absolutely no concept of what's going on in my restaurant. And instead of just thinking to myself, oh, this is terrible, I'm so unlucky, I worked so hard, and I didn't get what I wanted, I got this, and I hold on to it like it's my life. I work hard every day. I wake up at about 5 o'clock in the morning. I get to the restaurant about 6 o'clock. I work 10-hour days, mm-hmm. 6 days a week, 7 days, or 6 days a week, 5 days a week, 6 days, on and off.
James, I want to jump in here because I love the counterpoint that you're bringing to this conversation, that you just got to work hard and tough it out in this economy, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for your call. Let's move to another call. That was John. Let's go to James, who's calling from Medford. You're on the air, James.
Hi. So I actually want to echo John's point because I'm in a job right now. I graduated from film school, which is a wonderfully useful degree. But I'm in a job now that I find incredibly rewarding, and I'm living with my parents. That's fine. And I do get, that weird look when I tell my friends, oh yeah, I moved in with my parents. They sort of, oh yeah, but, it's a weird social stigma. But on the flip side of that, I've grown closer with my family, and it's been a healthy change for me, and I just wanted to sort of make that flip side of the coin known, that, it's not all bleak.
James, thank you so much for your call. Jordan Weissman, let me go back to you on this. So you heard two voices there saying it's not that bad. I mean, John was saying that even though I didn't get my dream job, he's toughing it out and learning a lot being a manager of a Dunkin' Donuts. And James is saying, hey, it's actually improved my family life there. So it seems like while that the truth is more sort of textured than the numbers may make it seem.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When we talk about these broad generational trends, so much gets lost in the numbers, in the stats, right? It's going to be individual for everyone. But, John, I was listening to his story, and he's in a that's such an interesting case. I mean, first off, very few people actually manage to successfully work full time through school and actually graduate. So that tells you something about his work ethic. Just percentage wise, he's kind of an exception there. And I'm sure he's going to do great, whatever he sets his mind to. But, there is this whole issue of underemployment. Are people this generation that paid so much for their college degrees, who have gone so far into debt compared to past generations, are they really getting the bang for their buck?
Well, there was that very eye-popping AP's poll or survey that came out, several months ago that said somewhere 50% of young people are either under or unemployed.
Absolutely. There was a number, the AP, and it was looking at this work from a professor at Northeastern University who he found that 53% of college grads are either young college grads are either underemployed or unemployed. And there's actually some controversy about that figure. Yeah. There's another guy who well-respected professor at Georgetown who says that the percentage of underemployed bachelor's holders is closer to 15%, and it's all about how you define those terms. The point, though, broadly, is that, yeah, a lot of people are not using their degrees for what they thought they would be, and people are going to end up having to be kind of creative, for lack of a better word, and this generation's going to have to kind of work past that, and I think it's going to have some lasting effects about expectations in life, and maybe I could see it kind of helping to shape our whole mentality, which is, and it's kind of funny because it's very different than what we were all raised with.
Yeah.
You know, we're the generation that our parents told us you can do anything, honey, right?
Let's actually hear from a parent of this generation. I want to take a call from Susan. She's on the line from Weston. You're on the air, Susan.
Hi. So the main thing that I just dropped my daughter off at one of her two jobs. She has moved back home having graduated last spring. Our son graduated from medical school last spring, and I worked for 10 years not using my college degree, but in retail, trying to help pay for their college educations. The comment that one of your guests made about shaping our individual lives,
mm-hmm.
Affects that holds for the parents too.
How is it having an effect on you? How specifically is it having an effect on you, Susan?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is that my daughter doesn't drive, and so I take her to her jobs. I have just recently left my retail job, which I am very grateful to have the luxury of doing. My husband continues to work full-time. My degree is in fine arts and graphic design. I worked in graphic design for 10 years and then had stayed home with my kids for a few years. And now I am pursuing my painting full-time.
Susan, thank you so much for your call. I'm going to jump in there because I want to turn this question back to Jennifer Tanner. Susan got me thinking in the last minute or so that we have here, Jennifer. I read an article in the New York Times several months ago by Todd Buchholz and I believe his daughter, Victoria Buchholz, who says that there's this profound gravitational pull back to home for this generation. So much so that, say, you know, in Nevada where there's a 13% unemployment rate, you don't see young people buying a bus ticket and going up to North Dakota where the unemployment rate's only 3%. Like, there are opportunities for young people away from home, but they just want to stay near what's familiar.
Well, maybe they want to stay near what's familiar because, again, this issue with the socialization to be very individualized, it's like the individual, what do I want to do? What do I think I can do? What have I been dreaming of? What are my goals? What have my parents told me that I can do? What have my parents colluded in this idea that I can do anything that I want to do? Here's the thing with the transition to adulthood. You can do anything you want to do in reality.
In reality. Yeah. Well, on that note, let's throw in a comment from RadioBoston.org. Kate Binder speaks out for Generation X. She says, Gen X to Gen Stuck, get over yourselves and start acting like grown-ups. Of course, it's not fun. It never has been. So maybe jaded to the end with Gen X there, but this is a very fascinating conversation about Generation Stuck and Millennials. We'll be continuing it over the next couple weeks here at Radio Boston. Jennifer Tanner, co-author of or member of the Society for the Study of Emerging Adulthood, thank you so much for joining us. And Jordan Weissman, associate editor at The Atlantic, thank you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, continue the conversation at genstuck.wbur.org. There's more of the show coming up. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.